Father, we thank you for this wonderful occasion to be together, Lord, on this day that I know all of us are thinking about and what it means for us personally and for our families to turn the page into a new year. Lord, help us, though, this morning to do so in the light of Christmas. Lord, that this season of celebration, season of knowing and feeling your presence come close to us in Jesus would propel us into this new year, perhaps in a different way than past years. Pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts this morning would be pleasing to you, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. Would you read along with me? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. The word of the Lord. Well, today is a special day, particularly in our culture. It is New Year's Day. New beginnings, new plans, new hopes, perhaps. It's impossible for us not to be thinking of those types of things today. But as I mentioned in our prayer, in the church, though it is New Year's Day in our culture, it is still this beautiful season of Christmas. Remember, Christmas is not just a day. Christmas is a season that will last us the majority of the next week. And so we are in this period of feasting and celebration still. Feasting and celebrating that God has come to us in Jesus Christ. Light come into darkness. So this morning I want to try and combine these two things. How can the celebration, the feasting of Christmas, propel us into a new year? How can Christmas, God come close to us in Jesus, encourage us as we begin a new year? And to look at that, once again, as we've done for much of the past year, one more day today, we're going to look at King David, one of his great psalms, Psalm 27, that we have just read, to help us bridge Christmas into this new year. I want to raise just 3 points from this psalm today. How Christmas can propel us, encourage us into the new year. I want us to look at the light of the Lord, the beauty of the Lord, and the goodness of the Lord. The light of the Lord, the beauty of the Lord, and the goodness of the Lord. And so first, how can Christmas encourage us into this new year? Look at verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? As we've said throughout this past month, through the season of Advent, Advent is a waiting, a period of expectation for what? For light to come into a dark world. And as we saw through the prophets, the Hebrew prophets, this darkness that the people of Israel were living through was absolutely overwhelming. But no matter how dark the situation for the people of Israel was, no matter how far they had fallen away from the Lord, no matter how far or how badly the covenant that they had with God was broken on their end, the prophets always spoke about hope. That even in the midst of the greatest darkness, there was a hope, an Advent hope that pointed to light. Light coming into the darkness. Let me read you one example of the prophets pointing to this. This great passage from Isaiah 60 in verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth and thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Light is the hope. Norval Klein was a lawyer and hymn writer from the great city of Aberdeen, Scotland, which I've come to embrace as a second home now. And in this wonderful hymn, Light in the Darkness, this is what he writes. Those shepherds poor, how blessed were they, the angel's song to hear, in manger cradle as he lay, to greet their Lord so dear. The Lord of heaven's eternal height, for us a child was born, and he, the very light of light, shone forth that Christmas morn. Before his infant smile afar were driven the hosts of hell, and still in souls that childlike are, his guardian love shall dwell. Oh, then rejoice, good Christians, nor be of here forlorn. December's darkness bring again the light of Christmas morn. Light into darkness. This is the feast of Christmas. This is how God's salvation has come into the world. And in this psalm of David, the light of the Lord is the Lord's salvation. And so as we reflect upon Christmas and then look forward to this new year that we are now in, what will it mean for the light of Christ to come into our lives in this new year? It's the question I want us to sit with for a moment. See, the reality, of course, is that there are places in all of us, places and pockets of our lives, where the light of Christ doesn't seem to reach. There are things, thoughts, places that we have kind of hoarded away, protected ourselves from the light of Christ, as if everything in that particular area that we know and say we believe is not true, and instead we live in a completely different way. But the salvation of God, when it comes to us, when the light of Christ comes into the world and even into our lives, it begins to guide our path in a different way. Light comes into darkness, even into the darkest places of our lives, into those pockets of our lives that we desire to hide, that we long to push away, and that light, even in those places, if given the opportunity, can change us, can transform us. I remember hearing a while back, some years, a woman sharing. We were at a church event, and people were kind of giving thanksgivings for what God had done in their life recently. I remember this woman very boldly admitting before a crowd of people that she had been living with depression, clinical depression, for many, many years. And she said, in the past, before I came to trust in Jesus and believe the gospel, in the past, I would go into my room for 4, 5, 6 days on end in complete darkness, just untouched from the world, in my own depression, swirling in it. She said, now, after coming to believe and embrace Jesus in my life, there is a difference. The difference is I still go into that dark room at times for days on end. But when I do, I know that I'm not alone. That Jesus is with me. That his light, the Lord, the light of the Lord is with me, she said. It's daunting to think about that, to think about letting the light of Christ come into every single area of our lives. It's scary. Because when the light comes into every pocket of our lives, it will bring some upheaval. It will move the furniture of our lives around. Today we celebrate communion, and communion is often a time when we reflect upon our lives. And one of the ways that I always like to think about communion is that during this moment, I bring my whole life before the Lord. And it is this reminder of this invitation that Christ has given to me to let his light come into every aspect, that there's nothing in my life that I hold in front of him with closed hands, to say, God, you cannot be a part of this. This is something that I won't let you speak into or have any influence on my life. The Christian life is meant to be lived with our palms open before the Lord, saying, all of my life presents an invitation, God, for your light to come in and do its transforming work. And we do it, Psalm 27 says, without fear. The Lord, the light of the Lord is my salvation. I'm giving that over to God, letting the light of the Lord come into my life, and not fearing what others will see, for whom shall I be afraid? And so in this new year, what would it look like for you and I to invite the light of the Lord into every area of our lives, into every pocket, into the most guarded or private areas of our lives, or perhaps even more tricky, into the most trusted areas of our lives, those places that we have developed, we think are solid, that we've worked on for years and years of self-confidence, or places that get us through because we know we can rely on our own power and strength in those places. But the light of Christ that comes at Christmas should encourage us and propel us into a new year to live an even more open and honest life before God and others. So what this Christ child came to do was what every hero journey or epic story has told us in history. to defeat the great enemy. But of course, what Christ has done for us is he has defeated the greatest of enemies, death itself and the darkness of death. So if that is true, if that is what we celebrate at Christmas, what or whom now do we have to fear? The Lord is my light and my salvation. We can let the light in. But secondly, how can Christmas encourage us into a new year? By seeing the beauty of the Lord. Look at verse 4. One thing I ask from the Lord, and this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. About 10 years ago, when we were ministering in Fort Lauderdale, we took a group of friends from our church to see, at the time, the Norman Rockwell Expo at the museum downtown. And if you're familiar with Norman Rockwell or his work, it's very picturesque. It's kind of simple art to look at because there's nothing really to interpret. The picture is right there before you. Of course, that great Thanksgiving, you know, feast picture with the father cutting and slicing the turkey. But I realized as I was walking through that I was walking entirely too fast, because in every painting was incredible detail. First glance, you think you see the picture, you understand what's going on. Second and third glance, fifth or sixth minute, you begin to pick out every detail and you're stunned by the beauty that has been created. Most of us, I'm sure, are familiar with Anne Frank, who gained international fame after her death and after her diary was published. Diary, of course, documents her experiences when she was hiding away from the German occupation in the Netherlands in World War II. And in this diary, if you've ever read through it, she describes what has now become known as the Anne Frank tree. This tree mentioned three times in her diary. And in one entry, she writes this about the tree. Nearly every morning, I go to the attic to blow the stuffy air out of my lungs. And from my favorite spot on the floor, I look up at the blue sky and the bare chestnut tree, on whose branches little raindrops shine, appearing like silver, and at the seagulls and other birds as they glide on the wind. And as long as this exists, I thought, and I may live to see it, the sunshine, the cloudless skies, while this lasts, I cannot be unhappy. Later, in a 1968 speech, her father, Otto Frank, described his thoughts upon reading the diary for the first time, and he described how he learned about this importance of this tree to Anne. He said, "How could I have suspected that it meant so much to Anne to see a patch of blue sky, to observe the gulls during their flight, and how important the chestnut tree was to her? As I recall that she never took an interest in nature before, but she longed for it during that time when she felt like a caged bird. She only found consolation in thinking about nature, but she had kept such feelings completely to herself." See, it was gazing upon the simple beauty of nature, of this tree, that helped sustain Anne, that encouraged her. And in Psalm 27, David says, "This only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord." In other words, this is what I think about. This is what I desire most. This is what I spend my time daydreaming about. We tend to dwell on the things that captivate us the most, don't we? So if it is the Lord that captivates us, then we take enough time. We can take enough time to gaze upon the beauty of God, to dwell with him, to be around his people. We begin to treasure him more and more. Christmas is meant to be a time when we do this, when we treasure what God has done, to think about God coming to us, Emmanuel. And if a tree and its beauty can encourage and lift Anne Frank, then what we are believing about the beauty of the Lord, what will it do for us to meditate and see the manger with fresh eyes at Christmas, to look upon the Christ child, to ponder him and to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. Now, this can be hard to do as we set out into a new year. Why? Because we have goals and we have plans and resolutions, and these can be very good things. There's nothing wrong with having goals. I have some goals. Our family has some goals. Our church has some goals in this new year. But what if we had one goal for this new year, personally, as a family, and as a church? And what if it was verse 4? This only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord to gaze on the beauty of the Lord. When this becomes our focus, if this is our posture with God, then we will begin to see all the more, our third and final point this morning, the goodness of the Lord. How can Christmas encourage us into a new year? By reflecting and dwelling on the goodness of the Lord. Look at verse 13. I remain confident of this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. If we are to lay down all of our attempts to busy ourselves, if we are to take up the posture of truly dwelling with God and gazing upon his beauty, to do that, we must trust that the Lord is truly good to us. We must. And there are two very important things that I believe we must always treasure and hold on to about God. One, that he is in control. And two, that he is good. That he is in control and that he is good. And aren't those two things that we desire most from a father? I mean, last week I had the opportunity to do a baptism, and we celebrated that today. And when I get the chance to do a baptism and hold an infant in my arm, or put my arm around a little child or even an adult, isn't this what God does for us? That he holds us in his arms and he gives us good things because we are his children. He invites us, enveloped in his arms, into his family, where he leads us into the land of the living. And because of that, we can trust him. We can trust that he is in control and good because he is leading us into this living place. And so we can take heart and we can wait for the Lord in this coming year. We can be patient. We can dwell in his house with his people. We can gaze on his beauty. We can follow him no matter where it takes us in this new year, no matter what change it brings into our lives. Why? Because he is good. That's it. Because he is good. And so I don't know what this next year will look like for you or for me or for our church. I don't know what kind of change it will bring into your life. If you look back on the past 12 months, I'm sure that all of us will see massive changes that have come into our lives. But I do know that God is in control and that he is good. Why? Because Christ has come. Light has come into the darkness so that you and I can always say, the Lord is my light. Of whom or what shall I be afraid? Let's pray together. Father, thank you that we can be encouraged this morning by your word to reflect upon the beauty of your presence here with us, seen in your people, to sing these truths, to pray them. Lord, it is our prayer, our goal, as your followers, as families, as a church, to gaze upon your beauty, to reflect upon your goodness, and wherever you might lead us in these coming days, may we continue to know and remember the feast of Christmas, that into whatever darkness exists, your light has come. We give you thanks for this wonderful, wonderful good news, these tidings of joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.